Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's going on right now? I'm talking with Colin from Amun-Ra. That's how I've always called it, Amun-Ra. Is that right? Is that how you pronounce it, Amun-Ra?
Well, we're not American, so we say Amun-Ra.
Amun-Ra.
But that, it doesn't really matter how it sounds, how anyone pronounces it, you know?
Fair enough. Well, so you, I just saw you a couple weeks ago at Numos in Seattle, and an incredible show. The visual representation and the sound. It was my first time. Actually, no, I saw you play with Behemoth, but the first time seeing Amun-Ra play a headlining gig. So you're back home, right? Is it you're back home in Belgium?
Yeah, we've been here now for a couple of weeks. Yep. Almost going on the UK tour, you know. But it's good to be home. It's good to be home.
Was that your first tour since the pandemic, or?
No, we were able to tour even in the pandemic. We were able to find some holes in the net, and we were able to snuck in there and have some acoustic tours and stuff. Mm-hmm. We didn't really want to do the heavy tours because everybody was seated. You know, the audiences were seated even in Europe, so it didn't really make sense for a heavy show. But we were able to do some European tours, but it was the first time back in the States since the pandemic.
And, you know, I thought it was a great turnout for the show and just in the Seattle show. I saw some clips from your Psycho Las Vegas show that looked really cool. How was Psycho Las Vegas?
It's always interesting, you know. We did what we had to. We had a hard time to get ready because we weren't really able to sound check, and there was everything that could go wrong went wrong. But we were able to transform that energy into something that that did what it had to.
Let that frustration out on stage, right?
Yeah, it helps. It helps to get there. Yeah.
So it's probably what, 10, almost 10:30 in Belgium right now. Yep.
Yeah. How late is it out there?
It's only 1:15, you know, so, you know, I'll be getting lunch after this and you'll probably be going to bed pretty soon.
That's funny. Yeah. It's weird to do interviews in the middle of the day, probably.
Yeah. I mean, I made sure I had to be very aware, I didn't want you to have to wake up, you know, in the middle of the night and do this interview or for me to, you know, do it too early or something. So I'm glad we could figure out a time, man. And, I'm curious, you know, because your band is one that kind of has a cult following And, you know, my roommate back in the day, she toured Europe with a hardcore band, and she brought back a couple of your CDs. She's the one who really brought me, got me into you guys. And, you know, obviously you've gotten much more popular over the years on Relapse now and whatnot. But, you know, I'm curious about, like, is music your full-time thing, or do you have a career outside of music or a day job, or what kind of stuff do you fill your life with outside of music?
Well, it's since 2017 that I was able to shift everything around, and it's only music anymore that I'm doing now. But we all have different projects, you know, like mm-hmm. we have solo projects, and I have a thing like opera theater things that I work on, and some awesome art. I make some art and do some exhibitions, and we try to keep ourselves busy. Our guitar player is a photographer, and we just start a lot of bands and make it work. Yeah. So, but I used to run like a skate shop for a while.
Oh, cool.
For 15 years in the city here. But as soon as we could, we focused on the music with the family, and then the daytime job and the band becoming bigger and bigger. And we do all everything ourselves. So we don't have managers or anything. So it takes a lot of time. So we had to make a shift and focus on the music.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we're blessed. I mean, we're lucky, you know, we're living off of our passion. So it's quite a luxurious position, and we're very, you know, aware of that we're lucky. Yeah,
that's wonderful. I mean, like you said, not just music though, art as well, you know, all these different projects that you have, and that's really cool that you guys are able to, you know, cobble together a living, you know, based off of all of these art projects and this music career that you've built. So that's wonderful. Congratulations.
Yeah, we're blessed to have like a good bunch of people around us, and we all have each other's back, and there's always stuff to do together, you know, in different combinations. You know, we hit up with one guy and do something, and then start another band with some others, and
we all
push each other forward and help each other out where we can. So, and that's what is able to, that's how come we're able to do this pretty much.
You know, I kind of mentioned how you guys kind of started as like an underground project, gotten bigger, and I'm a subscriber to Decibel Magazine. So when I got in the mail, I got a copy of Decibel Magazine, and Amon-Ra's on the cover of the magazine. It was kind of mind blowing to me. I was like, this is awesome. I felt like, you know, this band was finally getting this recognition. How did that feel to you to look at a US, you know, glossy rock magazine, and you're on the cover? That must have been a pretty cool feeling.
Yeah, it was a big deal for us, you know. We're not going to lie about it. You know, we really wanted to do a good job and get the pictures right and make sure that it was. And we were lucky that the journalist there was on our side, and he helped us out big time. And we're really happy that we get so much help from the Relapse guys and. Yeah, it's nice after 22 years or whatnot to see that people still are, you know, enjoying what you're creating, and there's still a place and for what we do, you know, in the world. So, yeah, and here that again is not given to all the bands, and so, yeah, the older we get, the more we realize that, you know, we should be thankful and. You know, we're stars aligned for us at some on planets aligned for us. So it was cool to see. Yeah. Very proud of that one.
That's awesome, man. I gotta say this. You know, I'm a wrestling nerd, so I'm a huge pro wrestling nerd. And hearing Amon-Ra, hearing your voice on AEW for Malakai Black's theme music, that was mind blowing too. So. Take me back. How did that happen? Are you familiar with him, or are you friends with him?
Yeah. Well, I got to know him online, though. I never met him in person. Mm-hmm. But since he was he loves metal and heavy music, and he's really tight knit with some guys at Relapse as well. So I think as he's originally from the Netherlands, which is a country right next door to Belgium, and we speak the same language. And I think the fact that our last album was in our language kind of caught his attention. It kind of fit into the character he was creating back then, the new Malachi Black thing, because we were in touch before the character got announced and stuff. So yeah, it's really cool. Like it's like a little family, and we were happy that he was he wanted to use one of our songs, obviously, to his entrance theme. And it's cool to see, you know, like here in Europe, the wrestling isn't that big. In the States, it's very, very popular. And here it was aired on TV when in the 80s, 90s, when it was still WWF and you
Hulk Hogan and all that stuff.
And Ultimate Warrior and stuff. And then I saw it. And as a kid, I was really, you know, I loved that. And I had all the action figures and stuff, you know. So it's kind of cool to see one of the leading characters like use your music now. It's kind of mind blowing. Yeah,
absolutely, man. That I definitely got really excited when I saw that, and it probably got, you know, some people that, you know, are wrestling fans and don't know that music. They probably tuned into the band. They probably checked it out, and and that's really cool. Get some new eyes on
definitely.
It.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely it helped a lot. You can see it in the comments on videos and stuff. You know, there's a lot of people who mention the House of Black and everything. So it did something. Yeah, definitely.
So I'm curious about, you know, the band has been going for 23 years now, but you obviously have your own origin story, and I would like to tap into that a little bit. You know, what got you into underground music, and was it, you know, metal or punk or hardcore music? What was the first kind of underground music that drew you in?
It was hardcore. In Belgium in the early 90s, there was a big straight edge hardcore scene that really thrived here. Which to European standards, Belgium was really, really active. We had a lot of bands, and the shows each weekend drew, you know, 500 to 1,000 young people. And it's pretty much what we did then. You know, every weekend we went to check out the same five bands time after time, you know. And then eventually, you know, we realized that we could start our own band. And then, you know, that's how it kind of started. No one had like a musical background, but everyone like kind of picked an instrument and went like, you know, I'm going to play guitar. I'm going to buy a drum kit and whatever. And then just started, you know, fooling around and learning how to play. And then from that came this pretty much, you know.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, through skateboarding and stuff that we got to know Black Flag and things like that. You know, that's kind of what heavy music brought in. And we had Bon Jovi and Guns N' Roses before that.
Yeah,
you know? So that's kind of how we got into heavier music. And then the more you the longer you're in the scene, the more you kind of open your eyes and see that different styles, and you kind of find what fits you best. And then, you know, it from the hardcore came Amen Ra pretty much.
I kind of had a feeling that it came from hardcore, because when I saw you with Behemoth, now that I remember, I was sitting with standing with my friend Greg, who sang for a band called Trial, and I remember him coming up to you and you guys mentioned, and you, and I think he said that you talked about Trial or something with him, like you like, and he was blown away because you're one of his favorite bands, and he had no idea that you would even, you know, have any idea who Trial was.
Yeah. We all looked up to all the bands from the States that were pretty big and already ahead of us, you know. In Europe, we kind of came after. And it's kind of cool. Like from there, are a lot of musicians who come from the hardcore scene, and pretty much that you'd still now bump into. It's kind of funny, like you get to know someone and you know, you get along, and then suddenly you start talking about older bands, and then you find out they played in your favorite band from when you were 16 years old or something. You know, it's kind of wild, you know. Like, then you kind of both starstruck about each other. You know? But it's kind of cool. It's kind of like coming full circle. And, you know, there's a lot of appreciation. And in a way, you formed each other. You influenced each other. And that's really interesting. Like the whole scene here in Belgium that we kind of grew up on was entirely based on Clevo Hardcore, the band Integrity. That's also on Relapse. All the bands here kind of started off pretty much ripping them off, you know. Yeah. And from that evolved into a more mixture with metal and all different bands formed from that.
So, you know, I'm coming into this interview like knowing Amun-Ra. And as far as Belgian music, Amun-Ra and probably Rise and Fall. So aside from that, what are some other bands that we should know? You know, drop some knowledge on us. Who should we know about?
Drop some knowledge on you. Goddamn, that's not easy. I think there's like our former bass player, Levy has a black metal band called Bigedo. It's a very different.
Oh, I know that band. Yeah. So good. Yeah,
they are really, really good. And our guitar player just started a new band, Predatory Void, that is more a death metal, black influenced. I don't know if you knew the band Oathbreaker that was on Deathwish.
Yeah.
Well, that's our guitar player's old band. So Predatory Void is like a follow-up on that. And then you have a new band that is signed to what is it called again? Pelagic Records from Germany. That's called Psychonauts. There's they're a three piece, and they're very, very good.
Yeah.
There's a lot of interesting stuff going on for sure.
That's awesome.
So in every country, you know, there's good things happening everywhere.
Well, you gave me some places to start. You know, I remember interviewing one of the guys from The Ocean and the main songwriter from The Ocean. And he was mentioning how he kind of grew up in similar like hardcore scene and how there were kind of like these communes where people would live and they would host shows and stuff. Is that something that was common in Belgium, too? Like kind of these kind of community communes?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people live together in squats, and that was
the word I was looking for. Squats,
That's pretty much where the only places that we were welcome, almost, you know, in the early days.
Yeah,
you had the punk bands playing there, and then the hardcore bands also. And then in the beginning, there was some rivalry, you know.
Yeah,
there was some, but in the end, we were welcome in those squats, and the same thing went for Amun-Ra. First shows that we were able to play were squats, and we were welcome there all over Europe. And that's where the origin lies, pretty much. That's where people were open-minded enough to take in bands that were trying to be different or you know, trying to prove themselves to the world and not having the space yet or the stages offered yet to them.
Yeah.
So it's crazy to see how you evolve from one thing to another.
That's awesome, man. And it gives you that community space to build your art and then, you know, that's great, man. I was just curious about that. I've always heard, you know, tales of like US bands going over there and getting treated like, you know, so well because they would have a place to stay and they would get fed from these squats. And so I thought it was really kind of neat.
Yeah, definitely. You know, they provide everything themselves. Most of them had vegan food and they have lots of workshops, you know, to kind of educate the people. And it was all very positive. It had a very a positive drive behind it and very heartwarming, pretty much, to see how that those communities kind of try to touch people's hearts. Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Well, you know, I am curious about during the pandemic. I mean, you guys did a little bit of touring. You guys were able to play out and do some acoustic shows and whatnot, like you mentioned. Did you guys work on any new material? Is there anything down the line that we can look forward to with Amun-Ra?
Yeah, well, within the pandemic, we released our album. And then most of the time after we have an album, we kind of focus on side projects for a while. You know, we start writing. So I think every one of us pretty much has we have Dolz Eskader, that is a two-piece band, bass and drum lineup. So he's releasing his first full-length album in December.
Awesome.
Then, like I mentioned, the Predatory Void has also recorded. And then I also did some recording for my solo project. But we have a Be Ready for Amun-Ra that we will record, but I'm not sure if we will release it yet. But we continuously work. So there's always stuff happening and stuff being created, but it's just a matter of waiting for the perfect time to release it or to wait it out until you're really, really happy with it and you don't think you can get it any better than that anymore. So we're very patient, but keep on working.
I should have mentioned to anyone that's watching this, I don't know why you wouldn't have checked this out yet, but definitely check out the newest Amun-Ra album, Da Doom. And then there's a remixed record of that.
Yeah, we had two versions of our last record, actually, because some of us, you know, wanted to work together with someone else, like Seth Manchester, to see how he would interpret our music. Cool. And then we did another version ourselves, or bass player mixed that one. It's not really done a lot.
And
bands don't really do two mixes or masters, but it's just like it's like an exercise for us to see how people interpret your music and what different possibilities are, you know, with the same album. And we had them, you know, so after a couple of months, we went like, some people were asking about the second mix, and then we decided to release it as well, you know. So everyone's happy in the band. Everyone has a mix that he loves. So, you know. We're all about the long-term plan to keep everyone happy and
that's
satisfied.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And you're right. You don't hear that very often. You don't see that very often. And you know, one thing that is so cool is that there are no rules. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, that's what people sometimes forget, that there are no rules. You know, why do you do that? Why do you release a second version of your album? You know, because we want to and because we can.
Yep.
Because we wanted to hear how it would sound like if someone else looked at it and interpreted it. It's, you know, it's interesting. You learn from that as well as a musician, you know, to see the different options.
Mm-hmm.
We try to think on those terms as much as we can.
That's awesome. Don't limit yourself. Do whatever you want.
Yeah, if you feel like it. It's not because anyone else doesn't do it. It's that you can't do it. It was the same thing with our music, you know, like sometimes we have the balls to like play the same riff fucking for 5 minutes. You know, and in the beginning we questioned ourselves like, isn't it too long? Won't people get bored? But we felt like it was right. So we went like, well, you know, if they think it's too long, it's too long for them, but not for us.
Yeah.
So let's do it anyway. You know, it's fun. It's fun. Keeps it interesting, you know, to be stubborn and do what you think you should.
Hey man, just take after Crowbar. Just play the riff. Just leave it longer.
You can never get enough of it, right? That's what I had. So
yeah, exactly, man. Just there you go. So just a couple more questions, man. So if you're having like a really crappy day, something's really frustrating you, what's an album that you can just grab and listen to, whether it's something to lift you up, something to get your aggression out, something, anything. Just if you're having a crappy day, what's a go-to album for you?
That's a hard question. I don't know. I don't really know. The thing is, I'm the kind of guy who connects with an album and then listens to it for a year straight. You know, I wouldn't know actually like what I would listen to.
Okay, well, just what have you been listening to lately?
My kids DJ all the time in the car, so I've been listening to a lot of hip hop lately.
Okay, yeah. Nice. What do they think of dad's music? What do they think of dad's music?
Well, I don't know. They kind of like to see the live shows because sure. They think it's interesting to see myself and their uncles
yep.
go wild on stage and look ferocious because they don't really know us that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, we're old, middle-aged. That's not
oh, that's just dad guys. Screaming with his uncles.
Yeah, what's up? Yeah, that doesn't really, that's not interesting. But I listen to a lot of folk music, you know. Mm. I listen to some Bonnie Prince Billy stuff, or, you know, I like Nick Cave and Mark Lanegan and things like that. I don't listen to heavy music that often anymore. I used to only listen to that. But you always listen to it from a different angle. If you make that kind of music, you always analyze and you can't just take it in as you should.
Yeah.
You know? So it's a bit all over the place, my musical taste right now.
Cool, man. Well, I would say it's working for you because the records just keep getting better and better. So I'm excited to hear this new EP you're talking about I do have one final question that is a bit of out of left field, but we ask it for everyone. If you can pick a scar anywhere on your body, show us if you can, but at least tell us the story of how you got the scar.
Wait. Anyway, I don't know if you can see it. Or see some.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Thing? Oh yeah. I see that. Yeah. That looks like a knife or something.
I had this project in my head where I had my nipples removed. So I had them casted in resin. Like you have in churches here in Europe, you have a lot of relics. They keep relics of saints that you can go and, what's the English word? You can I'm not finding the right word.
Worship?
Worship, yeah, whatever. Yeah, that's the word I think, yeah. So and I was intrigued by that. Why that you would keep some bones of a person to go and worship, you know. I always was intrigued by that stuff. And you have like catacombs as well here in Europe everywhere that have presumably saints or parts of saints preserved and stuff. I had my nipples removed by a friend of mine and I had them casted in resin and had a friend jeweler made relics of that for my kids. I have two sons, so they each get the piece of their physical father.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, and the nipple kind of symbolizes the nurturing part of the body, you know. So that was the idea a little bit of those scars.
Yeah. Wow. I was not expecting that, but thank you for sharing. That's quite unique and interesting. That's really cool. Thank you for sharing that.
I can show them. You want to see my nipples?
Yes, I would like to see your nipples. Sir. Yeah. Please show me your nipples.
Yeah. Yeah.
There they are.
There's my little box.
Nipple box.
The nipple box here. There you have them.
Wow. There it is. There cast in resin. The nipples of pollen.
Boom. There you have them. Anyway, so yeah, that was the scar that has the most appealing story to it.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing, and thank you so much for taking the time. I know it's late for you, so you know, any final words, man? Any final words for anyone listening?
No, you enjoy your lunch and have a good day, man.
All right. Right on.
Enjoy yourself out there.
Awesome, man. I'll send you this when it's all over, and I'll thank Stephanie for connecting us.
Thanks for your time. Thanks
Absolutely.
For hooking up and helping us out, getting the word out there.
Absolutely. My pleasure, man. I'll talk to you later, Colin. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto
Parts. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.